from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you will ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving.
Welcome
to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
Have you ever made a mistake? And you just really messed up and you feel bad. Well, you don't even feel bad. You feel stupid. It's one of those kind of mistakes where you just feel stupid. I do that a lot. And because of my most recent mistake, especially for this show, I kind of got nostalgic a little bit. Because you sort of start doing life and you start growing up and you think you've overcome stuff. And then you do something stupid and you realize, oh! I haven't gone quite as far as I needed to, or maybe I'm not as smart or more mature as maybe I thought I'd gotten now that I'm really in my 40s. And well, it just made me sad, this last mistake. And honestly, I got a little nostalgic and that got me sort of digging around the old soundboard where I found a bunch of 80s television show jingles. And I got this one.
I can't believe it myself.
Tell me this doesn't bring back good memories.
Suddenly I'm up on top of the world.
Oh, come on now. Here it comes. Oh, I love this show. Curly blonde hair. Connie Selica. The greatest American hero. And I needed a pick-me-up, I'm not going to lie. I definitely needed a pick-me-up because I was embarrassed because my very last personality episode, it is so funny when you're an ADHD guy like me, it is so funny how you mess stuff up quickly and you don't even realize it until comments started pouring in from the website and people were very nice, very kind. They didn't necessarily hurt my feelings, but it did embarrass me because, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, on episode 52 of the second show in the personality series, I titled it The Social Director, and I went off on Social Director, which, of course, was not the right name to go with. Because on the first show of the personality series, I was sticking with the old lion, otter, golden retriever, and beaver of the animal kingdom. And it was supposed to be the animal kingdom for the entire series. But no, I blew it. I'm not afraid to admit mistakes. If you've listened to this show, it's all about being authentic and genuine and honest and not worried about being perfect. And the good news is I really don't ever have to worry about not being perfect because I'm so imperfect. But I thought before I get into the third show on this personality series, maybe I was doing that unconsciously for all of you, the listeners. That's the direction I want to take this one in. Because honestly, the fact that I messed up the title of The Otter and changed it to The Social Director, and, you know, I don't have to get into the long story. It's the exact same test, the exact same personality styles. This is the four. We have it in the animal kingdom like my dad and John Trent did. But then we also, when we wrote the DNA of relationships, and then when I wrote some really cool, awesome, powerful matching stuff, four personalities, custom wrote by me for thesimplemarriage.com, probably by far, I think, the most powerful thing for couples online ever. We use the new analogy, which is the analogy of a cruise ship. And so all of my new notes now on personality stuff are with the new analogy of the cruise ship, which is why I went with episode on the second one with Social Director. And I'd forgotten that the first episode I had done with the animals. So instead of re-recording and doing it with Otter instead of social director, I'm going to leave it there because it's the perfect example of a social director or Otter. Honestly, only an Otter would make that kind of mistake. And that's who I am. And you have to love me for it. Okay, just my wife and kids have to love me for it. But that is so quintessential Otter, it's almost obnoxious. So enough of the former mistakes that I'm going to even read. Pam, I was hoping you were going to continue with the Animal Kingdom personalities. My husband and I bought the Keys to Loving Relationship series years ago and loved the personality profiles of the Animal Kingdom. You started with the lion, and now you switched to the cruise ship? Where's the otter? Hey, girlfriend, I am the otter. That is exactly why I switched and ADHD'd this whole thing. Roxanne, what happened to the otter? Why'd you change the names? Roxanne, because I have problems. I am an otter. We make major mistakes all the time. So I just, you know, I couldn't resist getting into that today because it really is funny. It's so perfect on an otter. So now, welcome to the third episode for the personality series, going back now with the Animal Kingdom analogy. So as you've already learned, in the Animal Kingdom, we have lions, we have otters or social directors, and then we have stewards, which I'm going to focus on today, and then navigators, and I almost did it again. Here I am reading the notes. I should just change the headings. And then we have beavers, which in the new system is just called navigators. So I don't want you to get too confused, especially when you go to thesimplemarriage.com. We use the new analogy. But staying with the animals, today we're going over the golden retriever and what makes golden retrievers the most lovable. I mean, it's our favorite dog, right? Everybody wants. And the new, maybe we should call this the golden doodle. The golden doodle. That is like God himself. Well, obviously God did make animals, but then we kind of mix with them. I'm telling you, those golden doodles are like heaven. I want one so bad. I wish they weren't so stinking expensive because you have all the personality traits of a golden retriever without all the shedding and allergy problems. It's a match made in heaven. The Lord himself is pleased with the golden doodle, as dumb as that name sounds. But today is the golden retriever's day. And why do we love golden retrievers? Because these are your warm, relational, loyal. These are the people that are the peacemakers, the counselors. They're the sensitive ones. They're actually the ones who care about people. For them, for the people, and not their own necessarily selfish needs. Where otters love people, we like to play with people. But golden retrievers love people. They are unbelievable listeners. These are the kind-hearted, soft-spoken, behind-the-scenes people that we have all come to love and adore. They are loyal, many times to a fault, but they are awesome. We love golden retrievers. But what happens is when their strengths get out of balance, they attract hurting people. And when they're out of balance, because they're such great listeners and they're so sweet and so kind and so thoughtful, of course hurting people are going to come to you. That's like a no-brainer for a hurting person. Where you get into trouble as a high golden retriever, you get into trouble because you don't have healthy boundaries with these hurting people. You take them all on. You listen to everybody, and it becomes overwhelming, and you can start to shut down. It gets you in trouble because you can't save the world. You can't save everybody. And one of the biggest things you have to understand is self-care, in the sense of it's okay to take care of yourself as well. Because if you get wiped out, then you're going to be no good for your family, your children, your husband, your wife, because you're going to be wiped out. This doesn't work that way. Where else you can get into trouble when your strengths get out of balance is that because you love routine, you tend to be a routine-oriented person, you can miss out on opportunities because you get stuck in these ruts. And so you just like it because you've always done it this way. But then something legitimate comes by, or more than likely you're married to a social director or a captain. Or, seriously, I have got to change the names. I'm going to do it right now because if I make that mistake one more time, I'm going to do something drastic. So I am changing the titles right now. And so what happens is you might be married to an otter or a lion, and they love change. But if you're out of balance, then you're going to frustrate your otter lion spouse. Because you can't be afraid of change. Change is a good thing. And it's also good, though, that you're consistent. That's a good thing. You just can't let it get into ruts and into missed opportunities. But I think where you really get into trouble are two ways. Is you tend to sacrifice your own feelings for harmony, and you easily feel hurt and hold grudges towards people. So, again, when you're out of balance, you wear your feelings on your sleeve. But let's go back to sacrificing your own feelings for harmony. Here's what I mean. You hate conflict. Now, what's funny is I'm very high golden retriever, very high. And so I'm also an incredibly sensitive person. And I know what this is. This is avoidance, folks. That's exactly what this is. That's where you get into trouble. Is that you so hate conflict that you, when your spouse, especially if you're married to a lion or a beaver, or even worse, a lion beaver, whoa, if someone's really high in those two, they're really intense, exactly opposite of who you are. But if you're married to one and they've hurt your feelings and they go, hey, did I offend you? Or hey, are you okay? And you say yes, and you're not, that's where you really get into trouble because you hate conflict and you avoid it at all costs. A lot like otters. But you can be even worse. Man, you get those four paws dug into the ground and you're in trouble. Your communication style tends to be wonderful, very two-way. Again, you're a great listener, but it can be indirect. And what I mean by that, again, is that you're so worried about hurting someone's feelings or experiencing conflict yourself that you try to talk around stuff and you don't really say the truth or you don't really say what you mean. And the next thing you know, you're talking in circles and you're using way too many words and you've completely lost everybody because they're either asleep, bored, or totally frustrated. Now, your weakness is the too many words. So when you go on and on and on, because again, as a golden retriever, you love to connect and you tend to connect through words. Well, that's great, especially if you're with another golden retriever. But where it doesn't work is when you're with the otters and the lions and the beavers. The otters, they don't have the time to listen. The lions, they just want you to get to the point. What are we going to do? And then the beaver spouse, if you're married to a beaver, they just want to know the essence. Like, give me the specifics, the detailed list, and let me move on. And so if you're going too far, okay, if you're going too long and using too many words, that's where you get into trouble. Now, your needs. If you're married to a golden retriever, and you'll know it, trust me, because they're just so soft and sweet and passive. Their biggest needs, I mean the biggest one, there's two, but probably the biggest of the two is emotional security. Emotional security is gigantic to a golden retriever. They also want, the other need is an agreeable environment, which an agreeable environment means there's harmony. It's calm. It's not out of control. It's not too much conflict or too much craziness or too much spontaneity. So they love an agreeable environment, but they really want emotional security. They need to know you love them, and they need to hear it. They need to hear you say it. You can't assume with a golden retriever that they know. You have to tell them, I love you. You are valuable. I am here no matter what. You're never getting rid of me. Those are the kinds of statements that increase that emotional security, which opens them up, by the way. So if you're married to a golden retriever and you're wanting some more spunk maybe or more fun or more spontaneity, well, the more secure they feel, the more spontaneous they can be. The less secure they feel, the more rigid and dug in they're going to be. And so your part with your golden retriever spouse is to provide that environment where you're saying the things that are meaningful to them. That's why I'm telling you, if you haven't read Amy and I's book, The Surprising Way to a Stronger Marriage, there's an entire chapter in there called The $1 Trillion Question. Learning how to ask that. And I've done some episodes. You can just search on our site, $1 Trillion Question. When you learn how to ask that with a golden retriever, watch out. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. It's going to get good because when they feel safe, they can feel other things too. Now, relational balance for the golden retriever. Obviously, you need to learn how to set boundaries. And the biggest way you do that is by learning a very dirty two-letter word. At least it's dirty to you. It's pretty easy to lions and beavers. But for you as the retriever, learn to say no. You can't take it all on. And you're not going to destroy people with healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries tell people, I love you, respect you and myself. That's all it is. And remember, you're saying no so you can better say yes in the future. But if you always say yes, you're going to be wiped out and you're going to get jerky and cranky and tired and anxious. It just doesn't work. So you got to learn to set those emotional boundaries by saying no and then learn how to confront. If you really want balance as a golden retriever, you got to learn how to confront because confrontation leads to intimacy, not disconnection. So stop thinking that. Confrontation says, I love you and care enough about you to say that hurt or that bothered me. And I want to resolve it because you're important to me. That's how you do it. And that, my friends, is the golden retriever. And so basically, about all I have left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.
And as always, I love leaving with my friend, Renier Bester, and 1440.
That got me here, and love will bring me back. It's a song that's taken 7 years to sing. And though it cuts me up inside to think I'm the reason that you died, I've only started living the other day. I will believe in you, and I'm back up again.